The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Monday. I have Monday voice.
Yeah, you have...
I have two nights of nonstop fun voice.
It's a big weekend.
Actually, one
you
night of nonstop fun.
You entertained.
I entertained both Saturday night and I entertained on Sunday.
Some would say you entertain every day.
Thank you very much. I appreciate
Seven
that.
Days yes. a week.
But anywho.
Also, it's allergens.
I'll be entertaining all. Wait till you hear the schedule for me.
Oh.
Book tour Mikey this
yeah,
week.
Yeah, good boy. Oh,
wow. Very exciting. But I will tell you that I entertain both Saturday night and also on Sunday. And Sunday was I was in Betty by at 10 o'clock last night.
Good,
oh, good
but
for
it still
you.
Didn't
with guests?
It didn't matter that I had me a Mother's Day. Oh. It, you know, it helps when your mother-in-law is like you know a party animal.
Yeah, right.
So and then we ran into friends at the restaurant. Mother's Day is supposed to be flowered hats and floral print dresses and sundresses. My Mother's
Young,
Day was a
mothers.
Bottomless glass of champagne.
Did you go to the place that we haven't discussed yet? Because
went to the place where I got married.
Oh,
went to
nice.
Poplar Springs Inn.
Very popular.
Where
place.
My friend Howard owns the joint, and we could not have had a better time.
It's Bernstein,
and then,
right?
And then it's Howard
yeah.
Bernstein.
Right.
Stern.
Mo.
And then we saw Friends at the end of the day. We saw Friends.
Had you had enough champagne that the greeting was like, Friends!
I know this guy's father more than I know my friend Chris.
Right.
I know Chris's dad. He used to play golf with him. And, yeah. like, and I think my greeting, this was like right when we were going to leave.
Yes.
And so that added another hour and a half on to because it was rekindling. And the greeting was something like the lines of, the five yards of Paul. And he joined us. So anyway, that's you know what? That's it. My weekend's over.
Chris,
I'm cramming all this into the beginning of the show because we have so much to cover on the show today.
Very much.
It's stunning.
It's
it will
stunning.
Stun you. We have travel logs.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. We have high drama.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
From someone who's high.
Yeah.
Always.
Yes.
But because I have to cram it in, we have to open up a gift. We have a gift
oh,
that comes
yes.
to us. I don't think
corner.
You need to open everything up, but it says, Dear Mike, as I mentioned in my Facebook note to you, I've been working on liquor infusions. That sounds good. That's a
wow.
good That's a good opening
I think,
sentence.
I think yeah. liquor infusions is playing this Saturday night at Gage.
It's a good name for a group.
I have been testing Gage. A number of combinations, but I thought I would send you two that you might enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
The first is called a Vermont Cranberry Rum.
Ooh,
how
wow.
good does that
sound? Tasty.
Look at that.
It's called Pirate Blood by my son.
Brilliant.
Oh, it's homemade booze.
Yeah.
Well, no, really, the booze is not homemade. The infusion is.
Oh, okay.
Right.
The rum is a mix of dark and light Appleton rums with local Vermont cranberries. Okay, that's
hey,
going to be good.
Hey, Appleton.
That's going to be good. I believe this is wonderful with ginger ale or Coke. I will try
that
it.
Sounds
yes.
right.
Now that you mentioned that you explained the infusion,
yeah.
it's not like Nick Rosanoff's homemade beer.
No.
Okay, very
no.
good. You
that
remember
always,
that?
That tends to taste like feet or ash.
Second is Vermont Maple Whiskey.
Ooh.
For this batch, I used a blend of fancy and medium amber maple syrup.
Ooh, thank you, Vanna.
With, oh,
such a
with
nice
Crown display. Royal Black.
Hey, yes. Can I see that oh, for a second? Can I smell it?
Can Rob
I
would like
it?
To
I
hold
just
that.
Like to, can I smell it?
Go
can
ahead.
I
it.
Crack that.
I assume
open.
Rob will fight you for this. It is wonderful in an old fashioned. You can have it, Rob.
Oh, my goodness. Thank you.
Oh, I can't wait
this
to try it with you.
This will never see tomorrow.
We're the only show.
Neither will you.
We're the only show that obsesses with alcohol on
yeah.
Monday.
Hold
yeah.
on. Hold on just
Monday
a second.
Morning.
Don't forget to drink.
Want to try it?
Bob takes a little swig.
Can I take a sniff?
It's not even noon here.
Boy, that's good food.
Oh, look.
That
so
is.
It's
oh.
wonderful in an old-fashioned. Please
smells,
to enjoy.
Oh, that has got hangover written all over it. It is sweet.
My best
oh.
to all the boys, Marcus Serta.
Uh-huh.
Also,
oh,
I hope
boy.
You enjoyed the cigars.
Yum.
Yes, I did.
Of course.
Thank you very much.
Marcus
and
is a great friend of the show.
Since we're running out of time, Rob Spiewak, you
yes,
were in Iowa.
I was.
And you had a good time.
Just want to send a salute to the greatest.
Before you start, let me just mention this. I wanted to share something with everybody.
You have something?
Here we go.
Are you
got
reaching
something
for
tucked
something?
Behind your
you
chair.
Help,
I can help you
yeah.
get it.
He's pulling something from behind his chair.
Let me see what this is. This
oh,
is
an envelope.
What do we have here?
Oh, I believe this is from the Office of the Governor of Kentucky.
Well, I recognize that envelope.
Oh, I
wow.
see.
see.
Hello, Mr. Come Lately? Yes, this way, Johnny.
Interesting.
Gee, let's see what this is, shall we?
I love that he takes so much joy in playing catch up.
let's do this.
I can't imagine.
That's a quick turnaround.
Okay, what is this?
From the Kentucky governor comes a large envelope.
Envelope.
With a large piece of paper.
Commonwealth of Kentucky.
Oh, it must be suitable for framing.
It is.
Stephen L. Beshear. Governor, to all to whom this presents shall come.
Harumph.
Doesn't sound right. To all to whom these presents shall come.
Oh, well, you know that. Well, you're obviously more excited than I was.
To all to whom these presents shall come.
Sometimes
greetings.
Twice.
Know ye,
ye
that the Honorable Mike O'Mara is commissioned a Kentucky colonel.
Yay.
Yeah.
I hereby confer this honor with all rights, privileges, responsibilities thereunto appertaining, and signed by the governor, I am now a Kentucky colonel, ladies and gentlemen.
That is awesome. It's a good-looking document, too.
I say welcome.
And your wife is a Kentucky colonel. I mean, I don't want to leave her out, right?
I don't think she is.
Oh. Oh. That's interesting, because mine is.
Really? And you don't think that diminishes it?
No. I think that makes me surpass you.
Yes.
Apparently.
Carla O'Mara is that. An honorable Kentucky colonel.
You know Colonel. What's going to be funny? In 4 days when I go up to you, Colonel, where is your certificate? I don't remember. I lost it.
No, we are going to frame these.
Uh-huh. Excellent.
And we are going to put these up in our home side by side.
For bedroom play.
Because, you know, and I hope your wife understands that, you know, if you had been a responsible husband, you could have gotten her the honorable
Kentucky.
No, it
really doesn't have anything to do with responsibility. It has a lot to do with caring.
Face.
You think she wants that?
That's face, babe. Face. Face Rob Spiewak.
Advantage Mike O'Mara.
He's thoroughly
I'll
pissed.
Get you next time.
He's, no. Even if he's faking it, he's giving me what I want, which is what I want. This is what I had. Tab was out. Here's the great thing about this. Rob and I have the discussion where Rob talked about the area of the Kentucky Derby, and that's when I said, well, I'd like to be a Kentucky, you know, if you get like special seating in places like that.
Yeah.
And so Tab contacts me, unbeknownst to Rob, and I said, if you can make this happen, that would be great.
Get
Tab
Patterson said, on it. He's a sneaky little just like you.
No, he's pissed.
So Tab Patterson says, yes, I can make it. I didn't know you were interested.
Yeah.
I can make you a. I said, of course I'm interested. Let's make this happen. I said, but don't tell Rob.
And he didn't.
So Saturday.
So not cool.
Saturday on the porch, I look down and I see governor of the state of Kentucky. I immediately know what this is.
Of course. Right.
I immediately
know. Assumed it was a tax bill.
And I said, the great thing is, Tab is out in Iowa with Rob.
Yeah. That's right.
Taking pictures of Rob.
Turncoat.
And
there was a secret going
so
on.
A lot of people don't know that Tab is not his given name. It is short for Benedict Arnold.
I write to Tab when he first said he'll do this. I said, but don't tell Rob. I will surprise him with it on the show. And Tab writes, perfect.
Congratulations. Your life is about to change for the better.
Now tell
it's
me.
It's going to make a difference.
Now, it says, actually, this is, it's got some information about Kentucky colonels.
Dear Mr. Jackass.
It. What does it say?
Hold on just a second.
There, you got your cardboard. All right, you're all set. All right,
Did you get your business card yet?
What business card?
You will also get like a little business card that you can hand out that says you're the colonel. The colonel.
The colonel.
The.
Not hey, just colonel. I love your popcorn chicken.
Honestly.
God damn it. Hold on. Wait a minute.
And you know what? You will get a catalog with like colonel merchandise, and they do sell the Colonel Sanders ties.
They do.
Yeah, they do.
Kentucky colonels. The highest honor awarded by the Commonwealth of Kentucky is that of Kentucky colonel.
I don't think you're reading it in the right voice, Mike.
Our colonel is Kentucky's ambassador to goodwill and fellowship.
I was wondering if you knew the importance.
It all began that when Kentucky's first governor, Isaac Shelby,
Governor Shelby,
named his son-in-law, Charles S. Todd, the colonel of his staff. Shelby later issued commissions to all who enlisted in his regiment in the War of 1812, you see.
Well, that was nearly 200 years ago, you see.
The official honorable order of Kentucky colonels was founded in 1932 by then Governor Ruby LaFoon.
What is your...
I'm Governor Ruby LaFoon.
Why are you reading in such a fast rate? Are you in a hurry?
And since... Yes, we have a lot to cover on the show today.
I understand.
And since been incorporated as a charitable organization, through the years, Kentucky colonels have contributed thousands of dollars to worthy causes,
You have an obligation.
That'll stop with this one. Kentucky's
they will remind you that there is an obligation.
Ah, yes.
They will.
And have you fulfilled that obligation?
Once a year.
What do you do?
I send them about $50.
Do you really?
I do.
Well, I hope they enjoyed getting that from you. They won't get it from me. Oh. Kentucky's governor.
Well played, state of Kentucky.
And lieutenant governor.
Keep handing them out.
Kentucky.
Give one to his wife. She won't give money either.
Oh, he's wound up, isn't he?
Oh, boy.
Kentucky colonelships are commissioned for an individual's contributions to his or her community, state, or the nation. I've already done my bit.
You've of course. Done so much.
You have
with
already.
Your commission
well,
as
really
a Kentucky
should be a
colonel.
Kentucky general.
Other well-known Kentucky colonels include Harland, Colonel Sanders.
Of course.
Nice.
Muhammad Ali.
Cool.
Betty White, George Clooney, Ashley Judd, Johnny Depp, Kenny Perry, that's the golfer, and Elvis Presley.
Yes, hey. I know. But I'm not mentioned in that letter?
So, no, you're not wrong.
That's sad.
So, thank you very much, Tab.
A little further down the list.
We appreciate that, and we're happy and...
Go Colonels.
That's your face.
I couldn't be any more pleased.
S-A-D.
Frankly, I'm all excited because you gave me the booze. You can be whatever the f*** you want.
You can listen to The Michael Mara Show at www.michaelmaraShow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's The Michael Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
Mother's Day.
I'm so mad at my mother.
Leave it, Mama.
Mother's it's a welcome.
You got to have a mother for me.
Mama.
Mama mia.
Mama told me
let's go.
Oh, mama.
Hello, mother.
Mama.
Hey, mama.
I saw mommy.
Mama, mama, mamacita.
Mama loves mambo.
Your mother should not.
Sylvia's mother.
Mother and child.
Well, that's all right, mama.
Crazy little mama.
Mother's Day.
You can live. You how important this is to me. I told you.
I don't ask much from you, girl. Why can't you give me the respect that I'm entitled to? Why can't you treat me the way I would be treated by any stranger on the street?
Because I am not one of your fans!
Mother's Day!
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. Mike O'Mara, Buzz Burbank, Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana. And now, from his couch, here's Mike.
Live from the Cappy Pfeiffer Studios, it's America's most beloved podcast, The Mike O'Mara Show. We are downloaded more than 13.5 million times and heard in 150 countries worldwide. Call us, won't you?
No.
No, don't.
You
no.
can't.
I just got a text from Tab.
Don't call us. Oh, you did?
Tab said, sorry. I replied, it's over.
That's fair.
I think so.
He's a friend of mine, but he's Rob's pal.
Yeah, you know.
718-506-1625.
He's my RJ.
That's right. It is Monday, May 14, 2012, and our show today is brought to you by the life-saving courses at Northern Virginia Community College. NVCC offers CPR and first aid training at campuses in Manassas, Loudoun, and Springfield. Actually bumped into one of their directors over the weekend.
Cool.
Like them on Facebook at NVCC AHA Training Center, or click their ad on our website, Northern Virginia Community College and American Heart Association Training Center. Take a class, and you will, it says take a class to save a life.
Right.
Good.
But what you do when you take a class, you guys said this, you feel like a $1 million.
You're
you
empowered.
Feel fantastic.
Yeah.
You do
superhero.
That. On the program today, we got you.
Yes.
In Iowa, we got you getting back from Cabo.
Yes.
The World Travelers. Mark, you didn't go anywhere.
No, I had a sick daughter. I was even sick a little bit on Friday.
Wow, I'm sorry.
But we start the show with some bad news.
Right.
This is news that I got last Tuesday, and at... While I was disappointed, I was not altogether surprised. I kind of felt it a little bit. But our good friend, Mr. Burbank, who I've worked with for how many years now?
20 years and 6 months.
20 years and 6 months. Right. Buzz has decided that he is going to leave the show.
Yes.
And that is a sad day for all of us on the show. We, you know, we're all like a band of brothers here.
Yes,
I describe
exactly.
This show as a bunch of guys busting each other's chops. Mm-hmm. And so it was very disappointing to me, but at the same time, I always sensed that Buzz wanted to kind of spread his wings and do other things and move on to do that. And that's what he's chosen to do. The first question, and I know a lot of people, because the speculators are going to be screaming, and I'll have you know that I asked the question before you could. I said, was it because of our little tiff that we had
the
earlier?
The dust up, the brand.
And I realized, and we discussed that Buzz and I and, you know, everybody on the show, we've all had moments like that, and it wasn't that situation.
No,
so,
it wasn't.
I kick it over to you and whatever you, you know, want to say, because, I mean, it's sad. We're going to definitely miss having your presence here, because everybody contributes in their own special way. And it's you know, at the same time, I'm not somebody that says, you know, well, then get out.
You know, but you're not.
And you should know that my door will always be closed to you.
I expected that.
As it always has been.
The truth of the matter is you've been very supportive in this decision, and I can't thank you enough for that. It, just because it's a difficult thing to do, and believe me, it is maybe the scariest, riskiest, maybe bravest thing I've ever done. And so I do appreciate your support, and hope that other people will support my decision as well. And just because it's a hard decision does not make it easy. It does not make it wrong. If you don't mind,
because people are going to speculate, I'd like you to explain what your thought process is, because
I am looking forward to, and what I'm planning is a series of daily newscasts Monday through Friday that'll be a little more expanded than what I've done over the last 20 years, and also a weekly sort of current events political roundtable talk show with some very clever and funny people, and it looks like we've got some celebrities lined up for that, and so I'm very excited about that as well. And I want to kind of strike out on my own. You know, you spend 20 years growing up with your brothers, and then you leave the house and you try something new. And I thought, you know, what with my near brushes with death, that if I'm going to try something like this, I ought to do it now or miss the chance and regret not trying it forever. So, again, I appreciate your support, and I hope people will continue to listen to TMOS and continue to follow me, and I hope that we continue to remain friends and brothers, and I'd even like to come back and visit now and again if I could.
Don't, get crazy.
You know you're welcome to do that, and in fact, I encourage that, and we'd love to have you pop in
so
panel with us.
So he's figured out a way to take a one-hour workday.
Yes.
And turn it into a 30-minute workday.
It was too much.
With no commute.
I just couldn't hold up under the pressure.
You know, we've talked about it. The other guys haven't talked about it.
This will add moments to your life.
You know, this is something that, you know, the daily newscast, and I told you this, and I'm saying what I said to you privately,
right.
That the daily newscast, because of the way this show is listened to, is not what it used to be on the radio. On the radio, it was every day. It was topical. It was immediate.
Right.
People listen to this show 2-3 days, in some cases 2-3 weeks.
Sometimes weeks.
Later, and so it's... but at the same time, you know, you've been able to do what you've done on the radio for all those years. But I know that sometimes it's not... you know, you've wanted more out of it, and you've wanted to do more. You wanted to do more back when, you know, the show that I did on the radio started. And so I think this
is... And we did.
Yeah, and so when you said it to me, I understood what was coming down with it. And, you know, I was not... I know you gave it a lot of thought.
I did.
And it was something, and I said, you know, this has been just a wonderful couple of years that we've had doing this, and I'm sad, but I totally, you know, and people should understand.
I thank you for that.
I completely understand what Buzz is trying to do, and this is not, you know.
I think we all do.
It goes a certain way when somebody leaves a show. I mean, you either go, oh, you feel betrayed, or you feel angry, and then you say, well, get out or something. It's not like that. It's not, because
thankfully.
I understand it, and, you know, it's something that I... am sad about more than I'm angry about. It's something that that I understand.
Well, I thought it would be fun. You know, we spent the last 2 or 3 years building up this show and building up this business. I thought it'd be fun to go back to square one and just start from scratch.
You have to do it every few years to just chuck everything
exactly
and do it.
If you don't mind, sure. I got a chance to call Buzz before I left on vacation, and on my end, I think I had the same feeling that Mike and I haven't really had a chance to talk about this because I've been out of town.
Right.
And I got a chance to talk to you, and really what I got from you, Buzz, was that I think there comes a point in everyone's career where if, just like you said, I'm either going to take the leap of faith,
right,
much like we did here with this podcast.
Right.
And as Mike said, there is a place also where you're like, well, if there is a place where I can expand or spread my wings from what I do right now and that's something that's going to fulfill me. It's really what fulfills you. Mm-hmm. Then yes. you have to take that opportunity.
Yeah. I thank and you for your support.
Yeah, I was sad. I was saddened just because I love working with you.
Yeah,
enjoy it.
But that doesn't mean that we're all in this room not going to continue being friends.
Good.
Good.
As far as I know, you're not relocating. You're not. No. So you're going to be anywhere. Around.
Not dying. Not moving.
And, just moving to a different.
But
sofa.
I mean, people are going to speculate, yeah. and I think this is a time where. You know, we speculated when we heard it.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I mean, you are in good health.
Yes.
Your health is okay.
Strong like bull.
You're not planning on, you know, any dramatic lifestyle changes.
Nope.
Other than that sinister looking goatee.
Other than the goatee, we've all speculated
I'm sorry,
about. Because it kind of came along at the same
it's
time.
It's the tiny dyed elephant in the room.
No, that's the only thing I said. I understand. And I said this to Mike just jokingly. I said, I understand where he's coming from.
Sure.
I'm a little perplexed because we do such a great job here.
Yes, we do.
To say that.
And it's fun.
And if I'm being fair, that we could have continued doing this. And I think you possibly could continue doing your other project.
Right.
But I don't know what your timetable is. I don't know if that.
Neither do I.
I don't know if that taping was going to be during this taping. I don't know what the situation was.
Right.
But the most confusing thing for me was your goatee. What is going on with it?
It's an experiment. And actually, about the time I started thinking
like
about
new
this.
New Coke.
I started, yeah. And it may go the way of New Coke.
But
I thought it would be fun. Like I said, it's a chance to try some things.
I so understand what you're doing, Buzz, because the reason that I think all of us are still doing this is we have a passion for doing what we love. And God knows... I didn't get into the business for the money because the money was gone by the time I got here.
Right.
But there's a passion. We love doing what we do. And if your passion means you got to chase it a little further in a slightly different direction, I say run as hard and as fast as you can.
Thank
and
you.
And
go
the
get
thing
it.
Is that I should point out is, and everybody knows the dynamics of this show, that you know, I do a show and kind of the bulk of the show, time-wise, is working with Rob and Oscar.
Right.
You know, is, you know, we kind of host this show. And
right.
and then you do your news at the end. And I know that a lot of the times that feels there's a disconnect there. Not a disconnect from the comedy or from your participation. You'll throw your little one-liners
right.
in. But a feeling that, you know, you want to do more.
Right.
And you know what? And I can't not understand that. It's if I did, I'd be the ultimate narcissist. If I was like, why? You come in here and you do that. No, because everybody has a desire to do that and to give it a shot. And you're right. You know, at your stage in your career, this is the time probably to do this. And that's, you know, I am,
well,
as I am sad because of the relationship, you know, I'm not sad because I think I respect the idea of going out and giving it your own shot.
It's been a rare and odd thing to have news on a comedy show. It's happening more now. You see it on television with shows like The Daily Show and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. But it was always sort of an odd combination. And I always felt just very blessed and very lucky to be able to do news on such fun shows.
Yeah.
So I really enjoyed that. And even, you know, we did talk about it last Tuesday. And I want people to take note of this. The days and the shows that followed last week were very funny. We laughed a lot, and hopefully we will over these next 2 weeks, because I'll stay with you for the next couple of weeks up until.
Well,
the,
I wanted to talk to you.
See, there it goes.
As far as that goes, but yeah, I think Mike's.
Don't let it hit you in the ass on the way out.
Right, gotcha.
All right.
Say that in the James Garner voice.
Don't let the door hit you in the ass on the way out.
Thank you.
And you've also
I'm in good voice for that today.
You've forfeited all rights to any cranberry plum rum. So don't take any.
One of the
we will be escorting you to your car.
Next question, people are going to wonder about. Are you going to replace Buzz? No, we're not going to replace Buzz. We are going to continue with a news presence on the show, which is a daily topicality sheet that we will have for you. That the way that's going to be.
Are you going to reveal the name that you came up with that I adore?
The segment is going to be called, and I would never do this while Buzz was here.
Yes,
but it will be called "Do You Care?"
All right.
And
well, that's fair.
It will be a segment that I have, you know, the way it works. Mr. Ronick sits in on every show. He loves performing as much as he likes being a business guy.
Yes.
And I've given Mark the opportunity to present this, and it will be Mark's little thing that he'll be presenting every day.
It's going
Do
to be
you
a,
care?
It's going to be a goatee-like experiment.
Yes.
We will be presenting news, and I meant to talk about this after that, but I'll talk about it.
Yeah, I mean, people right should know.
Because I don't like it. It's like talking about somebody that's not here.
Right. Yeah,
but when Buzz abandons us on at the end of May, we will move into the Do Your Care segment, which will be presented to all of us, and it will be in a way that is a little bit less formal, and a little bit more lighthearted. That's the way it's going to be. So that's it. I would love to, you know, when you talk about wanting to come back, I would love you to come back and do a show right around the election. That would be a lot of fun.
Oh, I'd be honored. Yeah,
I think that would be a lot of fun to do that. And you know, and maybe, you know, a couple during the summer if you get a chance to pop back.
Absolutely. Well, that's
that.
Very kind of you. I think that would be fun. I'll take you up on those invitations.
You're going to kill it.
Thank you. Thank you guys for the support. And your support and things like that mean so much to me. Thank you.
A lot of people are going to ask, you know, me, well, what about, will Buzz have a presence on our network and stuff? First thing I asked him if he was interested. Buzz wants to do his own thing. But we will certainly share where that is. And, you know, if you stay friends with Buzz on Facebook, you'll be able to find that out.
When we buy his network, we'll have it. That's right.
Well, you never know.
Bid to buy.
Right. You know, if I understand the way you'd like to go get it set, get it established, and then we'll talk then.
Right.
You know, and see where it is right there. Right now, you want to prove your, you know, you want to prove it to yourself.
Let me
go out and
do it. I need to get out there and fail.
No, you're going to do great. I'm kidding. I think you just need to say, Buzz, thank you, because I'm real proud of everything we've done.
Yeah.
And we're closing in on 3 years here, and you're a huge part of it.
Be so
proud of what you've done, but be real excited for what's ahead of you.
But you know, I'm going to miss you guys and miss this. There was a moment last week we were laughing off the air, and Mike said to me, "You're going to miss this," and I said, "Yes, I am." Yeah.
Well, that goes without saying. I mean, we know that. I mean, this has been the most fun that we've all had in our careers, and so it's something. But I think that there's a desire for what you do to expand that, and what you do is really the news portion, and that's what you know. I know politics and world events and all that. You know, that's what jacks you up, and you know, 10 to 12 minutes a day is not enough to keep you satisfied with that, and I totally am down with that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because you've been doing it for a long time.
Thank you.
So that's cool. We will be maybe having a little farewell to Buzz at a watering hole. Mm-hmm. We're still working on that. We'll let you know where that is.
That's right.
We're not going to do a big farewell because it's really not farewell. It's kind of like he'll be popping back in, and as I said, we still are friends. And besides, I don't want to spotlight the fact that the guy's leaving.
It's not goodbye. It's just so long.
So long, everybody.
So long, Buzz.
So that is what I would call the bombshell of the day.
Yeah.
For those of you that are going, well, wow, that's it. No, I didn't find out this morning. I didn't find out on the show. We found out last week.
Buzz found out this morning.
Buzz found out.
What? He was doing something else.
He's out of there.
And we wish you all the best.
And good luck with that. And we will move on. When we come back, it's Cabo and Iowa as we speak to Messieurs Santana and Spiewak about their respective holidays. We'll come right back. Bye-bye. Welcome back to MikeOMaraShow.com. I talked about this over the weekend to a bunch of people. I'm talking about Smart Smoke.
Yes.
The premium e-cigarette. Smart Smoke is something that I still get people give me the high-pitched dog whistle look when they see me with one. And it's like, oh. Uh-huh. And I tell you, I love it. And I'm a social guy that likes to watch a hockey game or sit on a patio with my mother-in-law on Mother's Day and hoove away at this little thing. My wife, on the other hand, loves it. More than life itself.
Really?
If you gave her a choice between Smart Smoke and her husband, she would say, "Where do I take the cigarettes?"
Wow. You know what? She doesn't have to make that choice. God bless. That colonel can have both.
That Kentucky colonel. But it is not a cigarette. It's an electronic cigarette. And it doesn't have the tar, the odor, the secondhand smoke, or carcinogens. This is one of those affiliate deals, right? The more people order from our websites.
That's right.
A lot of people call for Smart Smoke, but the best thing you can do for us, I'll ask you this question, because somebody said they called Smart Smoke, and they said, "I heard about it on the Mike O'Mara show," and the person went, "Oh, that's nice."
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's no good.
So I really think if you want to order your Smart Smokes and quit smoking that way, and you do it just like you would do Amazon through
our website. There are banners on our website that you click through, and that will give us the credit that we need.
So please go to our website if you want to do this. And if you're somebody that wants to get off regular cigarettes, this is the best way to do it. To see all the styles, flavors, and strengths, just click the Smart Smoke ad on our website. Who wants to go first?
You go first.
No.
You go
no,
first.
No,
Cabo
no.
boy.
Cabo, Iowa.
Well, let
Cabo,
me ask you first. Are you married?
No, I'm not married. Why?
Well, I just wondered if you came back like
no,
with me.
No.
You were thinking perhaps a destination wedding.
Not yet.
Well, then let me move into this. Yes. I'll start with you.
Okay.
I think you said this on the show.
We'll edit it out.
No, I've never said. What we were talking about, we did not talk about on there.
Oh.
Oh.
How did it go?
It went great. Thanks.
Great. It's great. Great.
Sunny, good weather.
Great. I want to start with Iowa because Iowa Cabo following Iowa, that's the only fair way. I mean, you just can't just – Iowa's Iowa. God bless you. And I know you're listening in Iowa, but we've been there.
But
trust
you see,
me,
the
know.
Difference between I'm not
– And they love you too,
but
Oscar.
Here's the thing.
They all have such good things to say about you.
I'm not jealous of Iowa, of Cabo.
Right.
Okay. And I should be. Yeah. I'm jealous of him.
Why?
Really?
I live my life jealous of him.
Why?
That's why I wanted the Kentucky Colonel. That's like a high point of my life.
Right. Right. That's it.
I'm jealous of how
there's nothing to be jealous.
We're on in Iowa.
Really?
My show
really
is on in Iowa. Just shut
really
up for a second.
To be jealous
my
of.
Show is on in Iowa. But he goes out. I mean, we have a wonderful relationship.
Yes.
With Steve and Tommy and all the people mm-hmm. in Iowa. Mm-hmm. He's taking it and he's doing his level best to just blow it up. Just to ride it
into
the ground. He goes out
how
and
how did
does
you
like,
find my inner secret plan so quickly?
You go out to Iowa and it's just Jesus Christ. Here I am at the Ginsburgs. Here I am with Stephen Time. Here I am doing 40 hours out here. Here I am doing this, you know. It's in the,
really,
so we get out there and
it's more
like
of a motorcade
whatever.
Buzz.
Oh, it's like
it's
something
Rob again. It's and his friends.
It's something we all have this
yeah,
apple.
That's true. I could see that.
We all have this apple and yeah. everybody on the show takes a little bite of this uh-huh. apple and Rob takes the apple and goes
no, here's the deal. You have access to the apple, but you don't bite it. You don't call. You don't visit.
I do. I'm taking the whole show out there. I did a freaking road trip out to Iowa.
You need to go by yourself once.
I am next the fall. I would like to take Carla out to a football game.
That would be fantastic.
And maybe my
and
daughters.
And then I will be
but
pea
there's
green.
The thing called money.
Then I will be pea green with envy of you. Yeah.
How do you do it, Rob? I mean, God, how do you afford getting out there? Oh, that's right. You don't pay for it.
That's right.
They pay you.
Because I work.
Huh. You see, okay, you see, don't work. You play. That's play for you.
You're going to give me grief for doing 11 hours on Friday. Yeah. And then when they pay me for it, you're going to give me grief again. It's a lose-lose for me.
Well,
what can I say?
It's just 11 hours. It's a little, really. You got to really love Rob to tolerate him for. Hey fans, how are you?
I tried not to. Tried not to yell so much this time.
Jesus,
it was like
Christ.
We had an air check meeting, and I tried to tone it back. But then we did 3 hours at Tailgaters, a little more than three. But then I had the rest of the day off until Saturday.
11, 12, 30, 14 hours.
It was basically 8 a.m. till 11 p.m.
Four.
Wow.
At four,
I did take a time. I took a small time out to go get a drink before I really started drinking.
Do you drink during the 11 hours that you're on the radio?
No, I didn't this time.
Really?
Because in the past, that's not sat as not well in time. the fourth hour because you're sleepy and you're drunk.
Yeah.
Hey,
yeah.
I'm gonna play Photograph. Here's Ringo Starr, and you just start crying.
Not gonna work. Yes.
No,
sir.
At $4.25 an hour. I mean, are you really that jealous? Yeah. Come on.
And he taxes it before.
He loves it out there, and you have family out there with your wife.
Yeah,
your wife
my wife
goes
was
out
able
there.
To see her father and her stepmom and her sister who just relocated out
where
there.
Did they put you up?
They we were at the Holiday Inn again.
Same one.
Yeah, it's mm-hmm. a great all great right. hotel, great bed. And I wanted to tell you that
it's nice.
Great pillows. Great bed.
Great would be a word that I would reserve
it's
for.
It's very good.
You know
it's
what I,
very
solid.
Good for
it's solid.
What I said.
It's the best hotel in Coralville.
I said it's a great bed.
Isn't there one right next to
there's
the
a, yes, there's there
a Marriott. Yeah. Yes.
Why don't they do they not have a relationship with the Marriott?
Trade.
Oh.
It's about trade.
It's about the
right. You really
trade.
Don't have
I realize
whisper.
I have to be mindful of the fact that this is going to be heard in Iowa.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you're right. It's a great place.
It is the best place.
And when I go out there, I'd be happy with a great place.
Sure.
So, yeah. But
one great moment, and I do want to send I'm hoping it's not a good well wish. I'm hoping it's a just do great wish to Dick Van Patten. Because we were watching Canon, as we do every day at 10 o'clock Central
right.
on their show.
Right.
And one of the guest stars was Dick Van Patten, whose daughter had been poisoned with acid. You know, she got into drug
characters.
Culture. Yeah, the characters.
I'm Canon?
Yeah. So we called Dick Van Patten, who in this episode was sort of the young happening Dick Van Patten.
Yes.
It was before ages.
Big collars.
Yeah. And we called him, and because that's like one of three celebrity phone numbers that I actually have. And he answered, hello? And I hope we woke him. Because I hope that the alert Dick Van Patten... Let me put it to you this way.
How
this,
old is Dick Van Patten?
I think he's 82 now.
82. Mm-hmm.
And I know that he's had a stroke, but I think he came back well from it.
Let's call him anyways.
He's on well, we found out about the stroke
because
after
he's
the
out
fact.
There and he's being, dun, 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 I know a celebrity. Dun,
dun, dun, dun. We came up with,
I know
we,
a celebrity.
We found
so.
Out about the stroke afterwards when we were worried, okay? We allowed him to promote his dog food, but he didn't sound like he's going to be playing a lot of tennis with Doug McClure in the near future.
I will tell you, I am a semi-frequent guest on the Steve and Tommy
show. I know
show.
You are. And, you know, just give
I am on that radio station. I have been to Iowa. I know. I go on that show with a phone call, and I am confused by Stephen Thomas.
It can happen.
I can't imagine what Steve Insider, Tommy Insider, and Rob Insider calling an 82-year-old man in his sleep. How anyone, and then you call, and then you say, I'm worried about him not being with it. Well, you're calling somebody who is probably more confused.
You baffled
that, I mean, because you guys are confusing because you're talking about canon.
We were very clear. We were very nice and crystal clear in our explanation as to what was going on. But he was, in a true Dick Van Patten way, he was really apologetic that he didn't remember it.
Right.
I don't remember much about William Conrad. I'm sorry. I wish I could help you more.
Because it probably wasn't, he did a guest spot.
And
right.
And he said, I've done so many. And then he has
done a lot of TV.
But then he also
had his own TV series. If you were asking him about 8 is enough, he might be able to talk about it.
I'll tell you what, he did perk up when he said, and I'm on an upcoming episode of Hot in Cleveland.
Is he really?
So he's still working.
With Betty White.
Yeah, which is great.
That's great. That
and
he's
still all
doing
but
that.
Said she was box. He loves Betty White.
Well,
they're part of that. I mean, Dick Van Patten is part of that little elderly fraternity out in Hollywood.
That getting so relevant.
Getting smaller all the time.
They're dropping like flies. Anything else special happen in Iowa?
They had to resell Bill Dahl Sassoon's seat at the last meeting. He wasn't there.
Oh, now he wasn't part of their thing.
Well, someone had to do the
hair. That was just a cheap excuse to get a Vidal Sassoon joke on.
Hey, if you don't look good.
How dare
you.
Anything else special happened? Is that it? Dick Van Patten? While you're doing a canon? God, what a land of suck. I swear to God.
And
nothing.
When he says land of suck, he doesn't mean Iowa. He means me. So you know.
It's Rob.
It's like, so it was all basically being on the radio.
Well, no, and then we did a meet and greet at Tailgaters. Which
How
was
drunk
great.
Did you get at Tailgaters?
Not as drunk as I got at Bobber's, and not as drunk as I got at the bar after Bobber's.
Did you get drunk at El Cactus?
El Cactus? No, just a couple beers at El Cactus. And by the way, that means the cactus.
What did you drink at Bobber's?
At Bobber's, Fat Tire Ale. It's delicious.
Yeah. Really?
Really, really good. But then we switched to the Crown when we got back to the other bar. And you know, it's a bar you've been to. The Beefstro.
The Beefstro.
Yes. That's funny.
In Iowa.
And how is Captain country. Steve?
He is doing great. And you know what? We got to congratulate
what
him.
What did he wear at the restaurants?
He did not come out because his son, Shane, got his doctorate this weekend.
Oh, wow. Congratulations, Steve.
So, congratulations to Dr. Shane Better Boogie, Ain't No Brother Soboroff, who is now Steve's still a disc jockey, and his son is a doctor.
Is Steve still recovering from the political loss?
He's doing the best he can. You know what would help him? If we made him a colonel.
That would make him real happy. And how's my best friend Tommy doing?
Tommy is awesome. He was actually my liaison at both of the meet and greets, and he did
Tommy
a,
loves you.
Did a great job. It
Tommy
was good.
Loves you.
And you know what? I think there was at one time some friction between Carrie and Tommy. And
really?
I don't know if he was
there's
jealous.
There's friction between anybody that comes between you and Tommy.
Is that what it
I've found that out the hard way.
We should try talcum powder.
When what was the thing you did with where Tommy was visiting and I dropped by?
Was it the Oscar?
The Oscar.
Yes. The Oscar.
Oh, that's right.
The Oscar.
That's right.
We say Oscar, not Oscar Santana.
No, the Oscar,
Academy
the Academy Awards.
Awards
mm-hmm. right.
And I got involved and it was the inside jokes.
Yeah.
And I'd make like a joke that everybody could understand and it would be like, oh.
Yeah.
But then they'd say, yeah, that's like Steve's ruler.
So true.
Steve doesn't have a ruler.
Yeah, whatever.
Oh, and also, two things about Atlanta Hartsfield Airport. I love you. What a great facility.
I hate Atlanta. I hate Hartsfield more than any airport in the world, and it's probably been 15 years since I've even been there.
Do you like Coca-Cola? They got it. Do you like coffee? They got it. Do you want something reasonable to eat for under $35?
Atlanta.
We don't got that. Do you want bathrooms that are far away and not clearly marked?
Yeah.
We've got that at Atlanta Hartsfield Airport.
All I know is I've been to Hartsfield probably 10 times in my life, and every time I've gone to Hartsfield, I have to circle.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's so goddamn busy. It's scary. Right. It's thunderstorms. It's nasty. I hate it.
I do think that it is the national capital of the short layover for the morbidly obese man forced to run in an airport. Greatest show on earth. I swear, if I could have had ottoman and popcorn, I would have had my feet up watching these guys running. They're running so fast that their collar is like turning in to their shirt because, you know, they're moving their head. And it's
so that's a circuitous route to go, is to go through Atlanta to Iowa. That's
it was a Delta hub before. I could fly down there and get onto the Volkswagen bus that actually took us from Atlanta and to Iowa. But it was significantly cheaper.
Both directions you got in and out okay? No problems?
Yeah,
no delays?
Dulles has a lot of Germans in it. I was surrounded by them in security. It made me very uneasy.
Let me say hi to Wolfgang, who was at my house this weekend. But he's an Austrian. Yeah, he's not a German.
So, right. I'm waiting, and I'm getting out my driver's license, getting ready to take off my belt, and all I hear is, oh,
How would you rate your trip, scale of 1 to 10?
9.5.
Very good. Nice. You had a good time.
Would have been a 10 if Steve hadn't prioritized his son over me.
Yeah, I know. Mm. So you didn't see a lot of Steve this week.
Saw him on the show. That's it. And we had breakfast at Perkins, where he also has trade. Thank you, Captain.
Perkins cake.
That's the way to live.
But he paid cash. He paid cash, and we
did. You tip over the weekend?
I tipped everybody.
Okay, good.
Yeah,
good.
I came back with nary a...
You tip. I know you tip.
Nary a dollar in my pocket. And I bought drinks for some listeners.
That's very nice.
Good man. Yeah.
Now, on to the legitimate vacation.
Yes. Not like this guy who just buys a keg and holds it high above his head and says, everybody open your mouth on me.
Oscar Santana and his lovely lady went out to... Cabo.
Yeah, Cabo.
For a
my
long,
first time ever.
Long-awaited vacation. And,
I thought your people came from Cabo.
No. I will say this about Coralville and Iowa in general. Uh-huh. A finer people cannot be found in the world.
That's true. Wow, nice save.
That's true.
Because
salt of the earth.
Because I will say
salt
if there
of the
was
earth, and they can do things with pork that nobody can do.
Tenderloin.
That's true. Also true.
If there was an ounce of Iowa with the people I dealt with in Cabo San Lucas, I would have been a happier man.
Oh, you should have vacationed at Lake McBride.
A happier man.
So you didn't have a lot of nice people?
So I will say that I take pride in my culture and knowing Spanish.
Yes.
And sometimes you would think...
It's helpful, I would think, down there.
You would think that because you're going to a Spanish-speaking country...
Right, makes sense.
And a resort that you speak Spanish is a better thing.
Yeah, like Manassas.
There is some weird anti... and I don't even know what to call it because there may be a word that you guys know, your vocabulary is far vaster than mine.
Where, faster, Mike.
Well, if you talk about... If you talk in Spanish at this beautiful resort we went to with like these amazing vistas, infinity pools on top of a mountain, gorgeous. But when I spoke English to them, they gave me better service than when I spoke Spanish to them.
Hmm.
And that rubbed me the wrong way.
Why did that piss you off?
Throughout the trip, because I felt like for some reason... Because I spoke English, that made me more important to them than when I spoke Spanish.
And this that makes just sense pissed you off from the word go.
That fired me up.
You, were thinking it might be a bonding experience.
Right.
Well,
yeah. It would help you, give you a foot in.
Do you think it was economic resentment? Do you think they thought, well, here's this rich guy?
I don't know because, what it was, but it wasn't me palling around, dropping like, essay, like slang, like just saying, hey, buddy. No, it was just being... Nice and polite and kind. And throughout at the halfway point of the trip. And by the way, vacationing with Shannon, a 10 out of 10.
Good.
Had an
That's
amazing
good to hear.
Time.
That's
it was
great.
Like it from the pictures.
No
who,
fights.
Who did you vacation
no
with?
Shannon.
Hey.
Shannon. WQXI.
This pool looks like it's perfect temperature.
I wish you'd stop speaking Spanish to the locals.
Every time you open your Spanish mouth, it seems like they're treating you worse.
The thing is, the waiter was so upset he didn't even bring us a piece of candy after our dinner.
We specifically requested that we'd like an orange juice and our favorite candy.
A candy? With a hole in it.
A candy known as a lifesaver.
And I would have accepted any flavor.
Peppermint.
Wintergreen.
And traditional five flavor.
Shannon in the morning.
Thank you. Sorry we had to do that. It's been a while, so we really had to
do right,
that.
Felt right, didn't
it? Yes,
so halfway through the trip, she says, stop speaking Spanish to people. Watch.
Stop talking like that.
No, don't keep doing it.
So, I wonder why.
I started speaking English, and the service changed like that.
Okay, would it be safe to say that when you were going down there, that there was part of you that was kind of looking forward to speaking Spanish?
It, yes.
Yeah, yeah. And kind of, let's be honest, showing off in front of your gal?
Yeah, a little bit,
I mean, I'd feel that way if I was bilingual.
Yeah. Why not?
Right.
And as soon as I stopped doing it, it was sir this, sir that, sir.
I bet so you know what
I think that can be legit on a lot of different
levels.
I
theorize they are trained to respond to English.
Right.
Because this is a resort built for those who do not speak Spanish.
Right.
This is a resort built for people to fly from the north to go down there.
Right.
They're probably more accustomed to dealing with people speaking Spanish. And also, I know...
They speak Spanish, though, Rob.
Right.
But maybe in that environment, yeah. maybe there is some...
It's probably not... environment. You know, it's probably...
Raise your voice to me. How
Sorry,
dare you?
I'm just saying.
I would assume that they maybe... Maybe there's experience. A little resentment there.
Could be.
You know?
I don't know.
You know, and also, if they lack patience, do you know that if you go to Paris... and speak bad French, they will instantly hate you. They'll be more helpful if you speak to them slowly in English, simplistically.
Ooh, that's good to know.
Because they hate to hear their language butchered.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's mostly a Paris thing. The further you get from Paris, they're friendlier.
Beautiful place to visit. Amazing vistas. Like different places. For example, like if you're going to go out there and you want to go to relax, I would say do some research. The place I stayed at was a great place to go and relax and enjoy your time. The beach is right there, but if you want to go, and maybe you're used to maybe a Miami Beach type vibe, there are other resorts. We went and visited other resorts.
So it was quiet?
It was quiet.
Peaceful?
It was nice. It was very romantic.
Beautiful.
And then when we went to a place called Mi Cabo, that's more like...
It means my Cabo.
You've got the Vegas vibe, where they have a DJ spinning, and you can go out on the beach, and they've got day beds. And so that's a different, you can have the best of both worlds.
You're both very active.
Yes.
Did you do anything like, zip lining or any crap
we
like that?
We went wave running. We parasailed.
Right.
That's
like my Saturday.
We played a bunch of tennis.
Oh, really? Yes. I didn't know you played tennis.
Yeah. And
tennis.
We worked out in their spa.
Incidentally, you can see, Oscar's entire vacation in the Talented Mr. Santana. That's exactly what his life is like.
Have you ever...
The Talented Mr.
Can't
Santana.
Can't imagine why they resented you.
Have you ever done a... I think it's called it basically looks like a paddle boat. A surfboard, but you stand up and paddle. I forget what they're called.
Windsurfer?
No.
Gay afternoon?
And no, it's really... It's really you stand up on a paddle, a big surfboard, but you're supposed to paddle on it.
Well,
it's
let me tell you, if I do something like that,
yes.
What you see is the bow, the front of the surfboard go up into the air, and it's shot out like Johnny Knoxville ought to be riding it.
I tried it, and when I stood on the surfboard, I submerged up to my chest.
I was proud of myself because
I look like a half a body.
Fat people can't do this.
No, they can't.
Right. Well, I was proud of myself because I didn't know if I could actually do it.
Ernie Robinson from Cleveland would be clean in half.
You're in the middle of the ocean doing this, so if you bite it, you're falling into the water.
Any shark? Concern at all?
Well, you try not to think about that clearly.
Yeah.
Right.
But I got up.
Oh, then the sharks hate it if you speak Spanish.
I didn't eat it.
I look for sharks when I'm in a pool.
I didn't eat it once. I did a great job. Shannon did a great job as well, though she fell off twice and was she's so competitive.
Is that
no, that, that's
Is
it.
That
exactly
it?
What
Let
you
me
do.
Say.
Show Mike.
Oh, there those things. Oh, got it.
Looks like Hawaii 5-0.
Were there any babes at your resort?
They're very attractive people.
I would
really.
Think
nice.
We're talking about yourself.
But this is the two things that happened. That this is where it goes wrong. Lost our licenses.
What?
Lost my bank card. Lost.
Oh, no. Bad night at the casino.
Hotel keys. Lost my DSLR camera, which is worth, you know how much these days things are worth.
Is this because you went out and partied and lost track of time and lost track of your stuff?
No.
Lost or stolen?
I would say stolen, but I'm one to always take onus because if you're vigilant enough, that doesn't happen. You know what I mean?
Wow.
Ownership.
And I take ownership of it because...
Right.
I say, if I was there and if I was vigilant and I didn't let my guard down and I know I'm on vacation, but I know
better.
Were
these on different days that you lost
different
stuff?
Days. Different
and did
days.
You lose the stuff mostly at the beach?
No, the first time was at the beach because when we went parasailing, you get on a little boat that takes you out to the parasail boat. So you're sitting there, you're enjoying the ride and the scenery, and you're going at a fast clip, like really, really fast. And you would think that... You would stop to get on another boat.
Yeah, one would.
But
think.
Not in Mexico. You speed up like on a speedboat to another speedboat moving at the same clip, and they have buoys on the side, so they just run into each other, and they say, "Move now!" So you get up, and jump onto the other boat.
Two moving
while
boats?
They're flying. They are going at a rapid clip.
Wow. Well, they have to keep you distracted so they can steal your camera. It's all part of it.
So when I jumped onto the other clip, as soon as you, just like when you get out of your car, do I have my keys? Right, do I have my wallet? Do I have everything? Pocket. I was like, I don't have our ID. Like, I don't have that. And I tell the guy, he's like, oh, it's probably on the boat. Like, no worries. Boat leaves, strap you in, you take off, and you're parasailing. And you're up there, you're enjoying yourself. You're like, you know, everybody's working together,
is there
no
a
big deal.
Great view from up
there. Oh, that's gorgeous.
Can you see anyone going into your hotel room?
You can't. That's the best parasailing I've ever done in my life, by the way. It was beautiful.
I'm glad you've done enough time to compare them. La, la,
la. You come down from this thing, and then you're immediately thinking about your ID.
Yeah, you're thinking about your ID.
Your pocket
and you've had a great time.
Like, and did it ruin your experience in the air because you're still in the back of your mind thinking?
A little. You're thinking, no, it was good. Where's my ID? It was fun enough, but you were having such a good time already that you're like, oh, no big deal.
Right.
And I had already gone wave running, and I didn't lose it then. And the guy who had it. So I was like, you can trust people.
Right.
That's your first mistake.
Yeah.
The trust
and
thing.
We get down, get off the boat, get on the other boat. Hey, I didn't see anything. There's nothing here. I don't know what happened. Like, are you sure you had it? English.
They took it.
And and then you start thinking, well, maybe I left it up.
Sucks.
Maybe I left it. And then you start questioning yourself.
Right. But it's like, no. It was on the boat, and they probably
done and done.
And you're out of your routine. You're not anything that you're familiar with. Right. So it's done.
So they got the licenses one day. But why would they want licenses?
No, licenses. There was cash. There was cash in the bank
card.
Oh,
boy. They just took everything. Done completely.
So ruins your time. But again. Shannon was thoroughly fired up, right? As she should be. And I said, Shannon...
Like pissed off.
Yeah, I said, either we can let this ruin our vacation or I can take ownership because at the end of the day, I'm holding it and I should be more vigilant about
so
it.
Was
at
this
the end of the day, you really should have been holding it.
Yeah, exactly.
Was this in
yeah.
a like? Was this in a bag? Was this in a canvas bag or something?
It was a little bag, a little bag.
And so the bag's gone.
Done. Right.
So somebody took the bag and when you were talking to the guys that were associated, you can always get a vibe.
Yeah, I didn't see anything. Like, it wasn't even, the only guy that cared was the guy who sold me the package at the beach because he clearly knows, he's the guy that's, wants a repeat customer.
Right.
He cares.
Yeah.
And but the other guys.
This word. Fast boat transfer.
Yes.
Did you get the impression that maybe this was done
happened.
For the very reason of people leaving stuff behind? It sounds to me like that.
Yes.
I can't tell you. That's exactly the way I play it back in my head. They do it you're almost surprised.
Oh, we got
to
go now.
You know what they would say? Oh. You know what would make sense? If you get, hey, make sure you have all your stuff because you're going to be jumping on another boat now.
Right. Yep.
None of that.
I bet it happens all the time.
Systematic.
Do you think about calling the cops at all?
It's Mexico. What are you going to do?
Yeah.
F it. You know, what am I spend 2 more hours of my vacation hoping they do something? They're not going to do
anything. Bribe money had been taken.
Yeah. So you were not, this was not affiliated with the resort.
No.
You went to a separate beach.
No.
Uh-huh. On your own, you're screwed.
Done.
That
I'm out.
Sucks.
Yeah. And then
I mean, you know, when you think about this country, though, this lawlessness in Mexico is just getting completely out of hand. So I think caveat emptor, buyer beware, and with that whole thing.
Keep your ass on you at all times.
So it was cash in your IDs.
Cash that, and then...
The camera, though, man.
So then we're up at the pool with the camera. And I've taken these amazing... Like,
pool at the resort?
Pool at the resort.
Pool at the resort.
Yes. And we're there... Everything's fine. It's the last night. We're going to a nice dinner. I'm sitting there with my camera bag. Shannon goes down to the room early because we're going to go do another activity. I'm paying the bill based signing for it. And I get up. I go. And I go back up to the room, let's say 2 or 3 hours later. And I'm like, hey, where's the camera bag? And she says, well, she goes, I didn't bring the camera bag. And then you start going through that back again, anxiety attack.
God, actually,
and then I go back up and I ask guy and they're like, we didn't see anything. And I look up and there's a parabolic camera, which basically is those cameras that show everything right above where we're at. And I go, that is more ownership on me than anything else because I might have left the camera bag.
Yes,
I might have. I don't know yet. And I say to the concierge or the guy at the desk, and this is what you should always know. Don't take no for an answer wherever you are.
Mm-hmm.
Just don't do it.
Right.
Because the guy in back of the desk at 9 p.m. could care less about your problems and what you want to do.
Right.
He just wants to get it over with and go to the next person.
Quitting time.
So I still don't have that resolved. I said, I'm not as much worried about the camera, but my own sanity is going to be lost if I don't see that camera and someone stealing that camera. Mm-hmm. Like, I need to know what happened.
Right. Right.
Closure. And I still don't have any closure. I've called, I've emailed, and today, for a portion of my work day, I will do everything in my power to find. I want someone to screen share their screen with me because I have that access on my end.
Right.
And show me what happened.
Yep. And they will never do it.
Yeah, they will probably never do it.
Because there's somebody that works at that hotel with a brand new camera.
Yeah.
That sucks. I've been to the, places where
you lost great pictures. That's the most horrifying thing.
I'd rather just have the SD card that was in the camera, right, and you can keep whatever you're going to keep. That's why when I got off the plane, while I had an amazing time with Shannon, mm-hmm, and it was interesting how we dealt with crisis, that small crisis, those little crises.
Yeah, what a tester. What a tester.
You know, you actually, your whole notion of don't let this ruin the whole thing.
Yes.
That's very wise. Yes. I think that was a good
move. Because I said to her, I said, we are both alive. We are both safe. Mm-hmm. Right. No one is hurt. We are okay.
You're not one of 49 bodies in a ditch without a head.
I saw right. that story. Yeah.
Jesus so, Christ, Mexico. Together. My more God in heaven.
But when you go, just don't. I don't care how many drinks you've had. And again, that when I lost my camera up there, it was even worse. Mm-hmm. Dead sober. Mm-hmm. Dead sober.
Right.
And when you go anywhere,
sure.
When you no, really, I was. And when you go anywhere, just be aware.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if you speak the language, if you feel comfortable, just be vigilant. And it sucks you have to be that way, mm-hmm, but you have to.
You do. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't matter the top of the top of the top.
Yeah.
The
because this was a five-star resort. Yeah. Does not matter.
One of my marriages, I went to the most expensive honeymoon place ever. It was my peak of my earning power. Mm-hmm. Went to the place where Oprah goes. Went to this. Got ripped off there. Watch, cash, tennis shoes.
Oh, my God.
You leave them out to dry. Everybody was doing that. Boom, gone in the morning. Yeah. That's staff. Yeah. That's the staff that works there. You never know. I mean, it's a, you got to realize
took
that.
Oprah took your shoes.
What's that?
Oprah took your shoes.
Oprah took my effing shoes.
That's right.
But it's nice you have the same size.
But everything else at the resort was pretty cool.
The fact that you even get to go to Cabo San Lucas these days and this
it's
economy.
Cool, but you know what? Great. I also am a big believer, and this is for world travelers. You know what? You speak the language, so you probably have more confidence going out and about.
Yes.
But I tell you something. When I went out to Cancun and went outside and took my little cab and stuff, I probably didn't even realize how hinky it can really get. Yeah.
They see
awfully quick.
These are our poor countries oftentimes, and they see us as rich. I know it's all relative. Maybe we don't think of ourselves as rich, but compared to their lives, we are. So I think that makes us a target when we go.
Thank you, Blackstone. but anyway, I can't help it. I'm really starting to notice. I can't look at you without saying that right
now. How's that?
I have the newscast in my hand.
It's a dove.
So go, but be wherever you go.
Stay at the resort.
No, but even if you don't stay there, just be vigilant.
Yeah.
Right.
That's
Watch
it.
Watch your stuff.
Don't let the fact that you feel like you're in paradise, don't let that make you feel like you just. I would say the best advice is it's like you're walking in New York City. When you're walking in New York City.
You have bad guys, you have good guys.
Yes.
Vigilance.
Yeah, that's it.
That's
it.
I totally agree. All right. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Audio Vault with Mr. Rob Spiewak right after this. And before we take this break, let me remind everybody, it's going to be the second week in June.
Right.
June 9th. It's a Saturday. It's the Ride for the House. I am very, very excited about this because I'm going to be all over the place this week promoting it. Tomorrow, I'm going to be going on the Diamond in the Morning Show with my friend Jack Diamond, which is very nice. Looking forward to that. On Wednesday, it's up to Baltimore.
That's right.
At 98 Rock. On Thursday, I will be on the Channel 5 Morning Show, Fox 5 here in Washington, D.C. And then tentatively scheduled on Friday, I'll be on with the Junkies on Friday morning.
Cool.
So I'll be giving you more details about
that. Do you get to do this show at all this week?
I'll be doing I'll be coming back and doing this.
I think that's nice.
I'm going to be in a great mood Friday.
No, Friday you'll be in your best mood because it'll be done.
Yeah.
Thursday, I might stay home.
It should be a lot of fun. So don't forget, that's Diamond in the Morning tomorrow at about 8:20.
Rob would know better than me. I think
8:15,
8 o'clock arrival for an 8:20 appearance.
8:20, I'm on with Diamond in the morning.
107.3.
8:30, I'm on Fox 5 with Tony Perkins Thursday.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And Wednesday, you'll be at 98 Rock around 7:30.
About 7:30. And then with the Junkies, we don't have the time just yet, but Drab and Company, your producer. Your producer is tell him I want to be on for the whole show.
Okay.
No, I don't. just a half hour.
5:30.
10 minutes. We'll take a break. Come back with the Audio Vault right after this. Welcome back to MichaelMarishow.com. This segment is brought to you by CB Lucas, AC and Heating. Got to call CB Lucas. You know why? Because they do plumbing, and I didn't know they did plumbing.
Yeah.
And I got a toilet upstairs that I'm just tired of going to war with.
Oscar?
I
wasn't. Is it Oscar's toilet?
No, this is the toilet that's down the hallway up in the top. It's the,
okay.
It's supposedly the expensive one.
Uh-huh. Oh.
And I'll tell you, I love my toilet in down. Don't I have a great toilet down
yes,
here on the main
do.
Level?
Yes. Perfectly.
It's very never comfy. Has a problem unless you stuff it with paper towels.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah.
And I love but, your brass fittings.
It's 2 years
but
ago.
The one brass fittings.
They're beautiful.
Live and learn.
The one upstairs in my bedroom is great, but the great. One, the guest toilet,
great.
You know, today, it's just running and running and running, and I look, and it's like, it's just, I hate this
you
toilet.
Need, you know, you need a flapper ball.
No, you know, I need C.B. Lucas.
He'll fix it for
all
you.
All I have to do is call 1-800-AIR-REPAIR for C.B. Lucas, because they do plumbing. They take care of that, and they also take care of all your heating and air conditioning needs. If you need a new system, C.B. Lucas, 48-month same-as-cash financing for TMOS listeners, or instant rebates on qualifying Trane systems. Ladies and gentlemen, they are the best. Call 1-800-AIR-REPAIR for C.B. Lucas. Let's open up the Audio Vault for today. This is Monday, May 14th, 2012.
Today's Audio Vault dedicated to Donald Duck Dunn, one of my all-time favorite
Did he
musicians.
Die?
He passed away yesterday.
Duck Dunn, I saw him down in Memphis.
I know, and I was so pissed. I was seeing in some of the obits online, they call him a Motown bassist.
Man, he's the best.
He was not a Motown bassist. He invented the bass sound of Memphis Soul. And we just heard Booker T and the MGs. He didn't right. actually play on that record, though.
Mm-hmm.
That was right before he joined the band. Donald Dunn, who you'll know also from the Blues Brothers, are going to play you a host.
That's where most people know him. He's the Blues Brothers.
Some
he
of
was
the
in
stuff
the band.
I'll play is he's just an amazing bass player. The reason he was so good, he was self-taught by listening to music on the radio. So he wasn't taught by a bass player what a bass player does.
Right.
He figured out what he thought a bass player should do.
Correct.
And that's why he had those great walking runs. That's why the bass just would pop and sound so amazing on all these records.
You're right,
also,
Iowa Throat.
Also, he had one of the greatest lines in the movie, The Blues Brothers.
You were the backbone, the nerve center of a great rhythm and blues band. You can make that live, breathe, and jump again. Murph and the Magic Tones, look at you in those candy-ass monkey suits. And I thought I had it bad in Joliet.
At least we got a change in clothes, sucker. You're wearing the same shit you had on 3 years ago.
Here he is.
Jake ain't lying, though. We had a band powerful enough to turn goat piss into gasoline.
That's his only line in the Blues
pretty
Brothers.
Pretty much. And let's hear that one more time.
Jake ain't lying, though. We had a band powerful enough to turn goat piss into gasoline.
But the house band at Stax Record in Memphis, Tennessee was basically Booker T and the MGs. They played for everybody. They did Green Onions. This is a song they did called Time is Tight. And you see, hear that bass. It is so rock solid. He's the best. They also had a hit, Hip Hug Her. When his bass comes in here, it's awesome. Nothing sounded like that. Paul McCartney held these guys in such high esteem, and that's why a lot of the times his bass playing emulated this.
Yeah, and you could always catch Duck Dunn. He played a lot down in Memphis, Tennessee.
Yeah, they did Soul Limbo, bass coming up. I think his best bass performance, though, is a song that was written by his buddy Steve Cropper, another blues brother. Mm-hmm. And this record doesn't exist without the bass line. It's Dock of the Bay, Otis Redding.
Oh, yeah. He played that?
It's amazing.
He's on this record?
Yeah, he played on all those records.
I had no idea.
Sitting in the morning sun.
This song gives me chills to this day.
That song is all about the bass.
Yep, that is a bass record. He also played on Midnight Hour. These songs that you've been hearing.
That's good. You know, what a nice tribute you do for these people that no one, you're not going to hear this anywhere.
You
know, nobody's
going
to pay
attention
to
You're
going to
hear CNN tell you that he played for Motown.
Right.
He also, his first band was called The Marquees, and you've probably heard this song before, Last Night.
Da-da.
Yeah.
Wow, I had no idea.
No idea.
What a nice tribute to him, right?
No one mic'd drums and bass the way they did at Stax Records. It just sounded that way. Also, he played for Eddie Floyd.
Played on this?
This record.
Wow.
Little hit machine.
Yeah. Their studios were on Macklemore Avenue, and it was an old movie theater. And that's one of the reasons they had that weird sound, because it was...
Macklemore Avenue where?
In Memphis, Tennessee.
Memphis.
They still, when they recorded, they couldn't leave wheels on their amps because the floor was still skewed from being a movie theater.
Wow.
All the amps would roll down. So they had to anchor the amps. And that's what it was, a combination studio and record store.
Very cool.
Also played with Johnny Taylor.
I can see where he gets the Motown rap.
Right,
but it's so great. Carla Thomas, he played for. and one that I did not know until I started doing the research.
All these songs are so heavy bass.
Yes, it's his sound. He played for Elvis Presley in the 70s. He played on the Raised on Rock LP because, you know, Memphis guy, Elvis didn't want to fly to New York or L.A. He brought the best session men in Memphis. But I think perhaps best known and just amazing the work he did with the Blues Brothers. And I put it up against any live album for quality and sound to
100%,
this day.
Right. All over my iPod. I got tons of these cuts.
And what a lot of people don't know.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the
Universal Amphitheater.
Right.
When they started doing the set list for the Blues Brothers and they were trying to figure out what they wanted Belushi to sing, Belushi went to Steve Cropper and Donald Duck Dunn. He says, what's the best way to sing Soul Man? Well, it's easy for them to say because they were there when Sam and Dave recorded it.
Right.
So Donald Dunn and Steve Cropper, they're the ones that taught Belushi how to sing Soul Man. And again, that bass line.
Yeah.
And this was, when I was a kid, a smash of smash of smash. I remember the Blues Brothers movie because it took me 3 weekends, before I could get in.
That crowd
was sold out. Yeah. And there was just no such thing as a sold out movie.
Yeah.
I mean, it didn't happen a lot except for the opening night. We're talking weekends where the Friday night and the Saturday night shows, both of them were all sold out.
Great movie.
And then the other memory I had, finally I get to go see the Blues Brothers, and I will never forget driving out of that parking lot. Because we were all high school kids.
And you just wanted to drive fast.
It was the movie we all wanted to go see.
Right.
And we wanted to replicate the chase scene in the Blues Brothers pulling out of the Manchester Twin. It was, no, I'm sorry, Showcase Cinemas in East Hartford, Connecticut.
Yeah,
we pulled
letters.
Out of there. It was amazing. It was so much fun.
The last thing I will say for Donald Dunn is, really, it doesn't get much better than this. And it was just used as an incidental, almost like part of the score of the Blues Brothers. But his take on Peter Gunn is awesome,
And I've had a band that's played the Peter Gunn theme, as RJ knows, and nothing like it. Nothing like that bass riff, and every bass player in the world plays it, but that's great. That's a nice tribute.
Anyway, so that,
you've got time for one more after all that.
Okay,
now.
Then let's close with...
A lot of those cats had beards like this.
Like yours.
Yeah.
All those groovy cats.
That's right, Vendetta.
I really enjoy it. Let me play you two short tapes, because one is not going to be any good tomorrow. Howard Bernstein had a fire alarm go off during his newscast today, the 5 a.m. hour.
Funny.
And he handles it really well, but I like when they go back to Andrea Rone.
Mm-hmm.
They're not ready to throw it to spots yet, so you can actually hear her clicking the stack of papers on the desk as they go to... But I think Howard does a great job here.
He's now in La Plata and also in Leesburg and upper 50s to around 60. Yes, we've got a fire bell going right now here. 59 in Martinsburg and Winchester. You see me running for the door. It's not a drill. I've been alarmed here. We've got some showers off to our west. We've got light stuff off to the south, the heavy stuff off to the south and west of us. Locally, Fairfax County, Loudoun County, up toward...
He's Frederick. Nervous and looking up, but he's
now.
Still getting all the things in.
Right.
70 in D.C., 60s north, Beverly Forest, time saver traffic while I figure out what's going on.
Listen.
Right, we will be back with more news later, so please stay with us.
God.
Market 8, everybody. Thank you so much for coming out to
big time.
Television City. And we close. Bill Maher had a very interesting take on Mitt Romney's take on gay marriage.
Yes. Okay?
Now, predictably, Mitt Romney, always on the other side of Obama, digging in against gay marriage. He said marriage should be between one man and one woman the way it has always been. With the exception of all my relatives in Utah, my dad who was born in Mexico, my great-grandfather who left the damn country to get away from one man, one woman marriage. Other than that, I'm a strict conservative on the subject.
That's it. And Mike, thank you so much. Have a great day.
Take a break. Come back with Buzz and News right after the summer report. Welcome back to MichaelBarraShow.com. Got a nice letter from Joe Boss. Joe writes, hey guys, I've been a listener since the dawn of Mike days, and I'm a huge fan of the show. Just started a new job at a factory.
Factory!
I've been working at this factory. If it weren't for having your show on my iPhone, I would lose my mind from boredom.
Nice.
Thanks to all you do. Keep the laughs coming. S.O.D. from Joe Boss. So thank you very much.
I hope they don't manufacture like precision medical instruments at that boring factory.
I do too. Yeah. I was a very petty, vindictive Facebooker this weekend. I unfriended a lot of different people.
Made some, freed up some real estate, huh?
All because of the caps.
Yeah.
Like the one guy, the New York guy that actually had it typed out with 2 seconds to go in the game and then nailed me with it. Like, hi, Mike. I got a hi, Mike from the Rangers fan. Like, and I was like, immediately, bam, yeah, petty. Yeah. And he's like, hey, come on.
I'm just getting it
personal wrong. Message. Hey, come on. It's like, no, you blew it. You were too. If he had waited 5 minutes, he wouldn't have gotten that trade.
Mm-hmm. 3 minutes.
3 minutes. He did it too quick. He's the first one. He wanted to be the first one. So there you go, Tony.
Consequences.
You douchebag.
Do you invite him to lick it?
And then there was another guy, Michael Palmrose,
who
said, I'm a bitter old man for my little well-thought-out diatribe against the Caps. I just simply said the Caps fans need to get a little more pissed off.
I agree.
If you want to make it to the Cup, you got to hold your team to the fire.
It would make us a better sports town.
Exactly.
So I'm told.
Thank you.
And I've known you for 20 years.
Bitter old man. I don't like the old man, you douche.
I was going to say, you're not bitter.
Thank you. But I am an old man. Speaking of that, ladies and gentlemen, here he is.
Perfect transition.
Mr. Buzz Burbank.
And the countdown begins.
Let the countdown. No, we're not doing that
crap.
Oh,
no.
Thanks, Rob.
Oh, God.
We are brought to you today by the Mike O'Mara Show's Amazon page. For your home, for your work, for your church, for your school, for your club, whatever, do all your shopping through MikeOmeraShow.com/Amazon, and we thank you. With the arrival...
Thank you, Buzz. That's it. Thank you. We appreciate that.
It's all the time
we
have.
Brought to you by... No, I'm kidding.
That was silly.
It was silly.
We'll be hearing
how could a bitter old man do something as silly as all that?
That is. RG, where do you put my Kentucky Colonel certificates?
Do you want to try that one more time?
Oh, see, they'll get lost over in the RJ hole. Right. They'd stay there for months.
Right here under the picture.
I tell you what, if you did put them in the RJ hole, they'd come out looking like the Constitution. Burnt edges. Brown.
That is save us, Buzz.
That isn't burnt. With the arrival of graduation season comes disturbing news about that sheepskin. The number of people with graduate degrees are getting financial help from the government. That number has more than doubled in recent years.
Hey, there you go, dads and grads.
Mm-hmm. Of the 44 million people getting public aid, this will be bad news for Steve Bridges, won't it?
Yeah, I think so.
Of the 44 million people getting public aid, the vast majority are, of course, undereducated. But the number of people in that group with college degrees is skyrocketing.
Steve has traded out all of Shane's aid.
Shane got a PhD. The number of folks with master's degrees who are on welfare or food stamps jumped from 102,000 in 2007 to 293,000 in 2010. The number of PhD holders getting government help jumped from just under 10,000 to nearly 34,000 in that same 3-year period. There is plenty of money to go around, though, for political campaigns, and a lot of that money is spent secretly by people and groups who are not held accountable by any law. And as UPI points out today, this is all happening while the media sleeps and the public focuses on the tanning mom. A Supreme Court ruling in January last year ended the restrictions on contributions from corporations and unions. The court ruled it's unconstitutional to put limits on how much can be spent. And under the current rules, they don't have to say where they got the money. The donors remain in the shadows, faceless and unaccountable. Because of that ruling and the lack of regulation, nearly half the groups campaigning politically are keeping their donors hidden. And groups that were prohibited from this spending just a few years ago now account for 72 cents on every campaign dollar spent. That's made for a busy few years for the likes of Karl Rove and the Koch brothers, raising hundreds of millions of dollars in the shadows.
It's crooked is what it is.
It's just a little fishy.
Underhanded.
The head of JPMorgan Chase is out of a job after allowing investments that lost $2 billion. Expect more heads to roll at America's biggest bank.
And she's not guilty, that one.
Yeah, not at all.
No, she looks powerful. I think that when they call her the most powerful woman, that's like the nicest thing they can say. Like, she's got a nice face.
No.
Good conversationalist, Oscar.
Huge ankles.
And sturdy.
Ankles. Yeah. And as Mike pointed out earlier, you can add 49 more bodies to the failed war on drugs.
Police, this is a horrible story. This is really a horrible story.
Police in Mexico found 49 headless, handless human bodies in a pool of blood near the U.S. border over the weekend. It was a statement from one drug cartel to another in their competition for the best smuggling routes into the U.S. We know this partly because the cartel responsible for this mass murder tagged the area with spray paint as a signature for their work. And this is not the first time this has happened. There have been several such body dumpings in Mexico over the last 6 months. They come at the end of a six-year effort by Mexico's president to crack down on the drug trade. His term is now ending, and by law, he is not allowed to run for re-election.
So do they, I mean, when you hear these numbers, you know, if you had this happening in the United States, this would be, I mean, this would paralyze the country.
Story, right.
I mean, it would be a huge
49
story.
People.
So they're just, they snatch these people? Are they related to the drug cartel? I mean, are they
not
involved in organized crime or
some,
what?
Some of them were would-be immigrants who may have been planning to cross the border into the U.S. It didn't matter. This was a statement.
So they're
by
using
one
these
gang
bodies
to another.
Just to show how tough
just to,
we're.
Just
right.
to say they're tough.
This is beyond
to say
subhuman.
We
this
own
disgusting.
This territory is what they're saying.
Boy, this Bad I mean, news. Really, what a horrible, horrible. My heart goes out to the people that live down there, the law-abiding citizens that live out there. It must be just in total fear.
But they
all
find,
the
you
time.
Know, and yeah, because they went into they found 14 guys in a van who had been killed.
Right.
I mean, this is
all
keeps
mutilated.
Happening. Yeah. Right.
And also, just on a side note, I feel like that there has to be some sort of correlation with the legalizing of these quote unquote medical marijuana head shops, and especially in California, and it's moving across the country. DC just did it in their own right. That's got to cause some sort of strain on the type of money that the smugglers from Mexico have been making.
Right.
Sure. So they're probably having to fight for the dollar more so than they ever have in their life when it
kinda
was just
lends
a free reign.
To the idea of legalizing the whole damn thing.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and I think they're doing the weakest thing they can do by partially making it legal.
Right.
It makes it even worse.
Yep.
If you totally outlaw it or you make it totally legal, then you've got something in either direction. But the way it's in the middle, they're just going to try harder to kill each other.
But it's stressing out that type of business in that sector of the world. It has to be.
Right.
But it's also sad, unfortunately, just like in my home country of Bolivia, is that until people in this country stop buying that type of weed, like if you're buying weed from your dealer, you're buying it. That's what
or
do what
clinic.
You need to do. or you're going. I would rather you go to a clinic or find somebody and get that effing card than buy it from the stuff that's coming in from Mexico or elsewhere.
You know, you really have to think about that. And it's just amazing that to think that they're using innocence. Just to say, hey, my body count is larger than yours is. I mean, that is just terrifying. That's terrifying all the way up here.
It's tragic. Yeah.
I don't care how you, any way you look at it. And man, the people that are on the front lines, the honest cops that are down there.
Right.
You can't be honest sometimes. They kill you.
Yeah,
this
amazing.
Is just quirky. People have been watching too many CSIs on TV, and it's screwing up our real jury system. Jurors have been going home at night, conducting experiments of their own, to see if claims made in court hold up in their experiments and then taking these unprofessional results back into the courtroom.
Sometimes jurors go home and experiment with growing facial hair.
Right. Guilty.
One
juror recently wrote a book about how he drank 3 vodkas to see if the defendant in his case could have been sober enough to drive.
I did that experiment several times this weekend. Always came up winner.
In Ohio, 3 jurors took showers and then got out to see how long it would take their bodies to air dry to check the science in the case they were judging.
Sounds like it's 12 fabulous men instead of 12 angry men.
Jurors, of course, are supposed to weigh the merits of the case based on evidence provided by both the prosecution and the defense.
That's scary.
Not on stuff they make up. And finally, we may have a new record for how many drugs you can hide in your body cavities. Earlier this month in Vermont, see if you can top this.
Okay.
Earlier this month in Vermont, a man was stopped for swerving in his Chevy Malibu. During the pat down, the officer felt something going on in the suspect's pants.
Hey.
Quoting the police report, separate from his genitals.
Yeah.
The officer got a warrant and an X-ray, and inside the man, they allegedly found a plastic bag containing 84 individually wrapped rocks of crack.
Oh, my God.
They gave him some laxatives and coffee, and out came 3 more plastic bags containing some weed and 218 oxycodone pills.
Jesus.
When we talk about gateway drugs, this is not the gateway we were talking about. I'm Buzz Burbank on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Thank you, Errol Flynn. Our show today was brought to you by the life-saving courses at Northern Virginia Community College. NVCC offers CPR and first aid training at campuses in Manassas, Loudoun, and Springfield. Like them on Facebook at NVCC AHA Training Center, or click their link at our website, Northern Virginia Community College and American Heart Association Training Center. Take a class, save a life. That's
I took
it.
The class with a Mark and Oscar, RJ, and John Waters. So,
Be listening tomorrow, Diamond in the Morning at
8:20. You will be on the
8:20 with Jack Diamond.
Just confirmed the Junkies on Friday.
Okay, the Junkies Set on your Friday alarm. Morning. That should be fun. So I'll be busy this week.
Yes, you will.
Dragged out and tired. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I work 90 minutes a day. What
it's
the
for
hell?
Charity.
Doesn't matter, you know. And thanks for all the nice things people are saying about Buzz. Keep them coming. I was looking on Buzz's Facebook. Just give me a couple that say everything's going to be all right,
yeah.
Mike.
Yes,
please. Thank you very much. Take care. We'll see you tomorrow, everybody. Bye-bye.
Bye. Ciao, ciao.
Jake ain't lying, though. We had a band powerful enough to turn goat piss into gasoline.